This is Find Your Dream Job, a podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the publisher of Mac's List. It's an online community that connects talented professionals with meaningful work. I believe everyone can find a job they love, but to do that, you need to learn the skills to build a successful career. From professional networking to personal branding, you've got to get good at job hunting. This show helps you do this. Every week on Find Your Dream Job, I talk to a different career expert. We discuss the tools and tactics you need to find the work you want. This week, I'm talking to Donna Svay about writing mistakes job seekers make. Donna Svay is an expert in executive resumes and LinkedIn profiles. She works with executives across the world. So Donna sees a lot of resumes, cover letters, and thank you notes. In our conversation today, Donna tells me that even the most experienced candidates make small writing mistakes. Often this happens because the applicant is on autopilot, follows old habits, or doesn't pay attention to detail. These writing errors might seem minor, Donna says in our interview, but make just one and it can cost you the job. Donna had a candidate who put together the perfect application, for example, and this person nailed her interviews. But then she made one slip in her writing, and that led the employer to offer the job to someone else. In our interview, Donna shares how you can avoid her client's fatal error. Donna and I also talk about the best ways to present yourself when writing your resume. We look at whether you need an old-fashioned cover letter, and we discuss how to write a thank you note that makes you shine. Want to learn more? Listen in now at the Mac's List Studio as I interview Donna Svay. Donna Svay is an executive resume writer and a former retained search consultant. Her company, Avid Careerist, helps clients craft interview-winning resumes and LinkedIn profiles. Donna joins us today from Sun Valley, Idaho. Donna, thanks for being on the show.
Oh, Mac, I'm happy to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. Our topic this week, as you know, is writing mistakes that job seekers make. And Donna, you're in a great position to see these because you help people with resumes, but also cover letters and even thank you notes. What kind of mistakes are we talking about? What are you seeing out there, Donna?
Oh, let's see. Probably the most serious mistake someone can make is misspelling somebody's name on a letter.
That sounds pretty awful.
It is. Or I swear, on every search I did, and I did over 400 of them as a retained search consultant, I always got at least one cover letter that was actually addressed to someone else.
And that's another pretty bad one. And
it is. I always chuckled at those and felt for the person who had done that.
Okay. Well, how about number three? What is an example of another terrible writing mistake you see?
Also in
make?
Cover letters, I would see misused homonyms. And the most common one was something like, "Your job posting piqued my interest." And peaked would be spelled P-E-A-K-E-D instead of P-I-Q-U-E-D. Again, I saw that in every search I did. And that one I saw more than once. In fact, I used to joke and say, I've really got to check the dictionary and see if they've just consolidated to one spelling. Well, first, the thing that sounds like peaked.
So why do these things happen, Donna? I mean, we live in an age with spell check and... You know, people that you work with, I know, are candidates for executive positions, so they're well-educated and have a great deal of experience. What's going on here? Why does this happen?
Well, Max, spell check doesn't catch homonyms.
Good point.
And peaked are homonyms. They sound exactly the same, but they're spelled differently, and based on how they're spelled, they have different meanings. So I think sometimes people really aren't aware of how to spell a homonym correctly. And other times, I think, you know, we're just on autopilot. And we've got a lot of cognitive load. And that homonym just doesn't get to our awareness.
But on the receiving end, people do notice, don't they, when they receive a letter with a misused word like that?
If they know that the word has been misused, they absolutely notice.
So what are the effects of these kinds of mistakes when somebody makes, which is, you know, admittedly in the grand scheme of things, a small error? What kind of difference can it make to a job applicant?
Well, Matt, for some readers of a job seeker's materials, one mistake will eliminate them from consideration. I think that's a little draconian. I used to ignore one or two mistakes that just weren't egregious. And I really had to, because if I eliminated every candidate who sent me a cover letter and a resume that had a mistake in it, I wouldn't have been able to complete my searches. That's how common they are. And so what I would do is I would point them out to my client and say, look, I did notice these mistakes or this mistake. I don't think it's serious enough to eliminate this person from consideration. However, if you really need them to be able to produce flawless written materials, they're clearly not our person. You know, many of the people I was recruiting for would have people working for them who would check their work. And so while it was a would-be nice, it wasn't an essential. But not everyone gives candidates that latitude.
So you've been hired in the past in your career to help companies find people and manage searches. Was your reaction, your willingness to give the applicant the benefit of the doubt if it were one or two minor mistakes, was that exceptional, or is the world largely filled with people who take the draconian position?
You know, there's some research on that. And I think, without digging into my files, I think it was a study that Kimberly Schneiderman at Rise Smart did. And as I recall, and these are round numbers, that would be a killer mistake for 15 to 20% of the people who responded to Kimberly's survey. And then there was another group who was willing to cut people some slack.
And what's going on here, Donna? Are these just people who are persnickety, or are they using this as a way to sort of manage the process, perhaps to cull out resumes to get down to a smaller group of applicants?
Well, certainly there's some persnickety people in there. And some people do approach searches as a cull out type of exercise. I tried to approach them as a find reasons to include a candidate approach. And again, I go back to my clients had jobs that needed to be filled. And if we expected perfection, by and large, we were going to have trouble filling those positions. So not all recruiters are looking to cull. Some are really looking to include.
Well, let's talk about, I want to get into mistakes that are specific to things like resumes and cover letters and thank you notes. Before we do that, though, are there any other common errors you want to add to your list of things that you've seen both as a resume writer working with executives and also as in the past managing searches for companies?
I would go to math errors. Just numbers on resumes that don't make sense. And that was a much bigger deal to me than a misspelling, particularly a misspelling that wouldn't have been caught by a spell checker. I saw a lot of executive resumes, even chief financial officer resumes, that had math on them that simply didn't make sense. And that goes to a person's analytical skills. and ability to evaluate information, and following on that, ability to make decisions from information. So when I see an executive who has numbers on their resume that are meaningless or incorrect, that was something that caused me to sort them out of consideration.
I'm surprised that would pop up with, from an applicant for perhaps a, you know, a CFO or chief financial officer position, but you have seen that, and it does happen.
Oh, more than, way more than once.
Yeah. Okay. I also want to talk about how listeners can, you know, catch these errors before they hit the send button. In addition to math problems, what are some other examples of writing mistakes? You've already mentioned a few, but what would pop up on your top 10 list of writing mistakes in application
well,
materials?
Well, let's see. I had a candidate who was interviewing for the chief human resources officer role at a technology startup in the Seattle area. And she had a fabulous interview. You know, I debriefed with her right after the interview, and I could tell that it had gone very well. And she fired off her thank you letter to the hiring manager, who I recall is probably the chief operating officer of the company. And she misspelled his name.
Yikes.
In her thank you letter. And I got a call from my client that said, she is out. And I said, well, what about the interview? And the person who was handling the search internally for my client said, he thinks that really matters. She is out. And there was absolutely no negotiating on that. So again, getting names right is really important.
So why was that a deal breaker? I'm not surprised to hear that reaction, but tell us more. What was in that person's head when they told the told you that it wasn't going to go forward?
I didn't try to get in his head. He was the decision maker. He had made a decision. It was very clear it wasn't negotiable, that I wasn't going to influence it. I accepted it.
What I'm trying to get at, Donna, is why was that unacceptable? But maybe people might get cut some slack for some other writing mistakes. And I can understand his reaction.
One reason, Mac, interestingly, is all she really had to do is ask for his business card, which is a very normal thing two people do when they meet each other. And she would have had the correct spelling of his name. As I recall, it was about her attention to detail, which he thought was important. Have I answered your question?
You have. And I want to say, when you were telling that story, I was feeling a little queasy because last week I sent a text to a client and I was in a hurry and I hit send and I opened by addressing the person by name, you know, hi. And then I went back and I looked at the text and I thought, oh my God, I misspelled the client's name. This wasn't somebody that I was new to my world, but I'd known a long time and I know well, but I tell the story because I recognize how important it is to get people's names right, whether you're pronouncing them or writing them out, or obviously both. So I can understand the CEO's reaction, and I can understand why the person had such strong feelings.
Yeah, you can't correspond in a hurry if it's something that really matters to you.
Yeah.
You just can't.
No, yeah, I agree. Now, we're going to pause for a moment, and when we come back, we've talked about these writing mistakes and other errors. I want to talk about how people can prevent them, and you gave a great example a moment ago about collecting business cards. I'd love to get some of those other ideas on the table.
So, happy to.
Bear with us. We'll be right back in a moment with Donna Svay of Career Advocates. We all make mistakes in our writing, even on job applications. Here's a doozy I made once. Years ago, I applied for a government job. To complete the application, I had to retype my resume on an official form. Now, when I did this, I transposed two numbers in my postal address. and I didn't catch my error. A week later, the employer invited me via the U.S. mail to take part in the next step of the hiring process. But I never got the letter because it was delivered to the incorrect address I put in my application. So I didn't learn about this opportunity until after a deadline had passed. Now, I could have caught my typo if I'd asked someone to proofread my application. That's a habit good writers practice. And I might have gotten that job, but I'll never know, will I? I'm not alone in making these kinds of writing mistakes. Hiring managers tell me they see not only typos, but 7 other common errors on resumes and other application materials. Here's the good news. You can teach yourself to catch and fix these mistakes before you turn in your resume. And I've got a new free guide that shows you how to do this. It's called Don't Make These 8 Killer Resume Mistakes. And you can get it today. Go to maxlist.org/resume mistakes. In just 10 pages, I give you 8 practical tips you can use now to create a well-written resume. Get your free copy today. Go to maxlist.org/resume mistakes. Don't let a typo ruin your next job application the way I did. Go to maxlist.org/resume mistakes. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back in the MaxList studio with Donna Svay, and she's an executive resume writer and the founder of Avid Careerist. So I apologize, Donna. I scrambled the name of your company.
I had to laugh following the conversation we had just had. Easy to do.
Well, thank you for not hanging up. You're very patient. So before we took the break, we were talking about writing mistakes that you've seen job seekers make because you look at resumes all the time. You've helped companies find great candidates. And we talked about resumes and thank you letters. What about cover letters, Donna? First of all, let me ask you this. Is the cover letter dead?
I wish it was.
Why is that? Tell me more.
You know, different studies give different numbers on how many people hiring managers and recruiters actually read cover letters. And it goes as low as 20%. So if 1 in 5 people are going to read your cover letter, how much effort do you really want to put into it? Unfortunately, there are some people who think that the cover letter is more important than the resume and that it tells them more about someone. I'm not one of those people. In fact, when I was a search consultant, I asked for resumes. I did not want cover letters. I didn't ask for them. Most people sent them anyway. And the only time I ever read someone's cover letter was if my client said to me, "Hey, so-and-so referred this person. Will you be sure to take a look at them?" And then I would think, "Oh, great. Now I've got to read their cover letter." So, no, it's not dead, but I wish it was.
What do you say to listeners who are wondering, should I do a cover letter? What would be your advice?
Well, I would say if you can, write what I call an opportunity letter. And I can give you a link to that when we get done with the call, Mac, where you discuss something in the cover letter that you did that was really exciting. And saving that, I tend to think of cover letters as transmittal letters. Tell the person why you're writing to them. And get on with getting them to reading your resume.
Okay. Are there common mistakes you see people make when they're composing their cover letters and sending them off?
The one that really comes to mind is the "you piqued my interest." That one, like I say, I saw it on every search. I saw getting a letter to Mr. Mac Pritchard instead of to Ms. Donna Svay on every search. Those are things people do wrong.
Why does that happen, Donna? Is there a way people can prevent those errors?
Well, such a great question. You have to double check, double check how you spell a name, double check that you've got this going to the right person. Just be careful.
Do you have some favorite tips for listeners about how to check their work? Things that you found to be very effective over the years?
Well, one thing I do is I constitutionally cannot type the word manager correctly. Cannot do it. I always type manger. So instead of manager, M-A-N-A-G-E-R, I type M-A-N-G-E-R. And Word thinks that's a word, as in away in a manger, right? So Word doesn't catch the mistake. But knowing that I do that consistently, I set up an autocorrect in Word so that anytime I type the word manger, it automatically changes it to manager, because I really don't use the word manger.
That's a great tip. I have a friend who is a very successful writer. He gets paid to write for a living. He still struggles with it versus its. It is, the contraction.
That's a good one, Matt.
Yeah, it is. And the way he tries to catch it is by reading his text out loud. It takes time, but that's a method that works for him.
That's a good tip. Another tip, and this comes from the Wayback Machine when I worked for Deloitte, and we had to manually proof annual reports before we released them. And we would have one person read and one person listen to the report. So that's another way to do it. And then another thing is to read them backwards. And if you see a word that you know you frequently get wrong, like it's and it's, stop and check. Did I get it right this time?
I've heard of people reading text backwards. I've never actually done that. Have you had that experience, Donna?
Have I done that? Yeah, we did that at Deloitte also.
Okay, that's impressive.
Yeah. Well, we had to be perfect. These were SEC documents. And we were being paid what we were being paid because we were able to produce them perfectly.
Okay. I've found that the ear is such a great editor. So whether you're reading forward or backwards, it catches things that the eyes miss, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, we haven't talked about grammar at all. We did use the words persnickety earlier, which I think is an adjective often linked with people who are passionate about grammar. What advice do you have for people who might struggle with grammatical issues, and how can they fix that before they hit that send button?
Well, you know, I live and die by Grammarly, which has a free version and it has a premium version. So people can try it and they may find that the free version works for them. As much as I write over 20,000 words a week. I use a premium version of Grammarly. And I think most people have heard of it now. I don't know. What do you think, Matt?
I'm not sure. I have certainly heard of it. I do a lot of writing, as do you. And what do you like about it, particularly for job seekers who might not do a lot of writing outside of their job applications?
It catches my errors. It shows me spelling errors. It shows me sentence construction errors. It's just a great help. And as time goes by, it's really like having your own English teacher embedded in your computer, because you develop an awareness of the mistakes you make all the time, and then you start figuring out a way to fix them. It's fabulous, for instance, at identifying the passive voice. And you really don't want many sentences on your resume or in your cover letter that are written in the passive voice. Well, Grammarly will make you stop doing that. It will also catch things like prepositions at the end of a sentence. It's really fabulous.
I know your clients often invest a lot of resources into a resume and other application materials. Do you ever work with real life editors? Do you ever recommend that to job seekers?
You know, I don't. But a friend of mine, another careers author, Allison Doyle, who's quite well known and respected, fesses up to using real editors. And she hires them via service called editor.com. And it's editor.com. And Allison swears by them. In fact, she just made a comment on a LinkedIn post this morning, one that Hannah Morgan from Career Sherpa made, about Hannah was talking about all the tools she uses. And Hannah's a frequent writer. She writes for herself and for U.S. News and World Report and some other outlets. And this is the second time I've seen Allison say, I use editor.com, you guys.
And did she share why she's a big fan of the service, what the benefit?
Because they're fast, they're inexpensive, and they're excellent, according to her. And I have looked at their website, and in fact, they are very reasonable.
Well, I'm a big fan of Allison Doyle's work online.
Me too.
Yeah, she's great. And we've had Hannah on the show. She's okay. Also terrific. So those are both great recommendations. We've talked about writing mistakes. You know, one thing we haven't talked about is format. And this is, let's talk about presentation. Mm-hmm. The length of resumes, for example, the way they're presented. And on the show, we've had some passionate conversations about the length of resumes. Are you a one or a two page person, Donna, or are you agnostic?
I'm an it depends person.
Okay. Tell us more.
Well, if you've got one page of material, you've got one page of material. Most executives need two pages to tell their story. I will tell you, another lockout factor for me when I recruited was an executive who sent me a three-page resume. And that was because I would look at their resume and think, if they can't discern what's urgent and important and get this story down to two pages, then somebody is going to have to manage their the materials they prepare for the board of directors. And most of the searches I was working on, people were involved with board relationships. And so it was a deal killer for me.
Do you make an exception for academic applicants, people pursuing university positions who might say, well, it's typical
yes.
there to have
yes.
a longer CV?
Or somebody who really needs to present their scientific publications. But what we do is we do a two-page resume, and then we have an addendum that includes their publications.
Well, that's length. What about format? Sometimes you'll see resumes that have lots of rules and bars and even illustrations or photographs. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I did the math once and figured that I have read over 100,000 resumes. And you have to put yourself in the reader's shoes. And you have to reduce their cognitive load as much as you possibly can. Because your resume is probably not the only resume they're reading. And after you read about three or four, they become burdensome. I mean, sometimes I would open a file and I would see so much text that I almost want to cry. It's like, I don't want to read this thing. So I like a very simple format, and that's because of cognitive load, but it's also because increasingly hiring managers and recruiters are reading resumes on their mobile devices, on their phones. And you talked, Mac, about pull-out boxes and shading and things like that. Images often really break up text when they go onto a phone. You know, if the resume isn't responsive, it's not a responsive design, meaning technically that the image will scale up and down depending on the device it's on, then you've got a real problem when you have somebody reading your resume on a phone and you've included all that fancy stuff.
Okay. Well, good advice to close on. Now, tell us, Donna, what's next for you?
Oh, more of the same. Writing executive resumes, blogging about job search. That's what I do.
Yeah. I have to say I'm impressed. 100,000 resumes reviewed. That's an impressive figure.
Yeah, I don't want that on my tombstone.
Well,
I think she skied as much as she wanted to. Would be a better epithet.
Yes, I that sounds a lot better. But well, I know people can learn more about you, Donna, by visiting your website. That's avidcareerist.com/executive-resume-writer. Donna, thanks for being on the show today.
Mac, it was my complete pleasure. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care. enjoyed that conversation with Donna, and I hope you did too. A couple of takeaways for me. One is about the importance of paying attention to your writing. That seems obvious. But as Donna said, sometimes we're on autopilot, and we just don't pay attention to details. And as she also pointed out, one small slip, like misspelling a name, getting an address wrong, these can torpedo your job application and move you from the yes pile to the reject pile. Don't let that happen. I also enjoyed Donna's very tactical and practical advice about how you can avoid these errors. We've got some similar advice in our new guide at MaxList. It's called Don't Make These 8 Killer Resume Mistakes. And it's based on what I hear from employers who, like Donna, keep seeing the same errors again and again. You don't have to make those mistakes. Go to maxlist.org/resume mistakes and download your free copy of our guide today. In the meantime, thank you for listening to today's episode of Find Your Dream Job. And join us next Wednesday. Our special guest will be Tammy Guler-Loeb. She's going to share her networking tips for introverts and everybody else. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.